What do you hear when you listen to a piece of music? There's a drum beat, a cymbal trembling, the deep thrum of a bass guitar. That's what your ears are telling you. But how do you feel it? What does your body say?
Can you feel that on your lips?
Busy air pushing. It feels like a breeze going to my face, like waves.
In an aluminium prefab in the playground at St. Mary's School for Deaf Girls in Cabra, you can't move for the clatter of junk that spills out of bags and across the floor. It's a cacophony of tin and steel, old washpipes, washboards, bicycle wheels, a veritable junkyard. It's not the sort of place you imagine hearing the most incredible and exciting sounds. But then this is a story of music found in unusual places.
This is the more disastrous the experience in here, the more accurate picture of my life. If things were to come crashing to the ground, it'd be a very accurate glimpse. Ow, things go!
That's George Higgs, a composer who has been working with a group of deaf girls from St. Mary's for the last few years. It's October, and they are building a new instrument together. There's a lot of work to do. In March, they'll be performing in public for the first time.
Everything's under control. You're working with a professional.
I like making my own music. Sometimes I use the table, the knife and fork, and sometimes I just play it. And then my sister copies me. When the music's playing, she just bounces her head and slaps the tray, the high chair under the tray, and she claps her hands.
That's Shauna Farrell Hathaway, a talented drummer who is 15 years old and profoundly deaf. Shauna is one of the four members of the Lost and Found Sound Assembly.
Well, I just want to play a cymbal, you know, from the drums. And there's pipes there now. There's a basketball, you know, the basketball when George took the net and put the pipes up, hanging from the top. My friend Helen, she plays the pipes. They're big red orangey pipes. She plays that one. And there's three small buckets linked to her, and there's like a drum. And there's telegrams there as well. You beep and communicate each other with music. They do the same thing with like H and press it E and then E and you press it and then A and you press it again.
And what are you spelling?
Hear, see and feel.
Music. Right now you are hearing this with your ears. The vibrations we call sound waves send messages to your brain that you interpret as music. But what if you don't have hearing? Are there ways that you can experience music?
Hear, see, and feel.
Hear, hear, hear.
Well, I can hear like a crash sounds. And it's like echoes. It sounds from high to low. You hear that. If it's high, you can only hear the crashing sound. If it's low, you can hear like a bang.
Composer. Composé. The one who puts together. George has been working with music since he moved to Dublin 20 years ago from Pennsylvania, and he has always been experimental in his approach. His first piece of work, Cahugaphone, was a guerrilla opera performed on a machine made out of junk. Since then, he has put together dozens of new compositions that challenge the listener's idea of music. He has built instruments from old doors, pedal-powered rickshaws, wire, wood, and scaffolding. He first became interested in the potential of making music with and for deaf people in 2007
My interest in deafness and music began with a project I did called the Electroacoustic Exchange, where I ultimately hung speakers on the ceiling of the Project Art Center. So I had the speakers hanging from the ceilings, and in each speaker cone there were materials, seeds, bones, coins, and these materials would vibrate percussively when infrasonic pulses, vibrations that are too low in frequency to be heard by the human ear, when these infrasonic pulses were sent through them, the materials would vibrate percussively. So it was kind of like an instrument, you know. And I liked the idea of these speakers because although they weren't alive, they were like musicians. They were like musical instruments. Every day I just sat there and watched people move around these speakers from the secret booth in the Project Art Center. I really studied how people would put their hands on the speaker to kind of experience these very slow vibrations. So as I watched, I started thinking about what it must be like for people who have no aural, you know, or auditory capacity, that they just experience what I would call music through extra sonic forms, you know, because I would think of music as many different things that come together to form an experience rather than just sound. But I think often people forget that when they're talking about music, they think of just sound.
There are as many different kinds of deafness as there are types of music. In the Lost and Found sound assembly, some of the girls have hearing aids or cochlear implants and can understand speech. Others rely entirely on sign language to communicate. Shauna can do both.
All right, well done. Now, I have another game for you. It's called...
I was born hearing. I had the disease, meningitis. My mum got it too, but she didn't become deaf or anything. I didn't hear for about a few months when I was a baby because they didn't know I was deaf. Because I kept saying, instead of mum. And I couldn't say Patrick properly. I kept saying Pangta.
Patrick's your father?
Yeah.
I became involved with St. Mary's School for Deaf Girls over a few years. Here was a community of young girls who had been playing music on their own. You know, it wasn't about trying to interpret a hearing person's experience of music. They were hitting percussive instruments, and I saw videos in the music room of these girls playing and met the girls. I said, this is exactly, you know, what I'm interested in. And I remember it's something I said when I first started kind of proposing to work with the girls. There was a video of these girls playing musical instruments, and the thing I noticed was they were watching, and they were listening, and they were responding, you know. And that, to me, is the key to being a good musician. I kind of got to know them musically first. We just kind of played music together. Talented young women, I'd show them stuff, and they'd show me stuff. And after a while, I started to follow through that intention was to build an instrument that the girls could play.
This is the music George and the girls are writing for their performance in March. It has everything you would expect from a conventional piece of music. It is pleasing to the ear, offers rhythms that become familiar and make you want to dance, suggests sounds that you might connect to traditional instruments. But this is not an instrument you would see in any orchestra or concert hall. It would look more at home on a building site.
Melissa, I thought it was maths, and then when I played it, I was impressed. I didn't really get it. And then I realised it was some rubbish. I was kind of shocked that you can still play music with rubbish, you know.
The easy part's choosing stuff. The hard part is fashioning it. Like those red pipes. Those pipes were originally, they were slightly bent, so I got them for free. But they were like, I don't know, 4 meters long. The truck delivered them, and I just sat inside the road with an angle grinder and cut them really crudely down. I took them home and I hit them. I made calculations on the mass and if I cut it so long, cut it. And I was close to being right, but not very right. You know, so basically I had to do trial and error, slowly get them down to the notes, which are written on them now, C and D and F. But that was a lot of work. And then, you know, not to mention the fact that after you've cut them down, you've got to buff them so they're not going to cut somebody's arm open. And then you've got to figure out how to hang them. Hanging is a big thing. That's a big thing with a musical instrument. It's not getting something to make the noise you want. It's getting it to either be held by somebody without dampening the sound. Like, you couldn't hold those pipes and hit them. They wouldn't make a sound. So how do you hang them and not kill the sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what you were doing. Yeah. So she's basically scraping a stick against a washboard. Can you do it? And then she's hitting a cymbal. And that actually, those cymbals are quite have an interesting history. They're from St. Mary's from 100 years ago. They were used by the nuns.
St. Mary's has a long tradition of music. Their musical instruments are still there. They were used to improve speech and vocalization of it through different means. But they were, I think they were also just interested in music, being a church. So there was a musical tradition there as well.
Now, I want you to play that on the organ.
This is not a music lesson, this is a speech lesson. The rhythm of the child's breathing and the vibrations of the sounds produced will form a habit of speech intonation.
The Silent World was a film made about St. Mary's School for Deaf Girls in 1966, in the first years of Irish television, when music was seen as a key to unlocking what they called the silent world of the deaf community.
Now say it on one breath.
I'm a good girl.
Good girl, that's
Margaret Farrell is a music teacher at St. Mary's.
Margaret Farrell was great. She collected a lot of these and preserved a lot of these instruments. There are a number of them. They have what are called blow organs. They're basically like melodicas. They're like these little wooden keyboard units, and you have a hose that goes into the side of them and you blow, and as you blow, the air from your breath, the air from your lungs goes and vibrates reeds. So it was good for them to learn how to breathe in and out for speech, and it was a way for them to learn to communicate on a number of different levels.
Can you say, the guinea pig has no tail?
That is the pig. Ash, lower down.
And no tail.
The speech in the case of the profoundly deaf child is never normal. It couldn't be, because such a child has no auditory impressions to help to get intonation and to get rhythm in speech. Though every effort is made in the School for the Deaf to help the child to get some idea of intonation and some idea of rhythm.
But education has progressed since then, and the idea that music should be played and enjoyed by deaf people is at the heart of the Lost and Found Sound Assembly.
These girls are hearing no sounds, but the rhythmical patterns of the vibrations they cause are pleasant.
Technology has also moved on since then. Shauna got her first cochlear implant when she was just 5 years old.
I used to have hearing aids and then my hearing got low. They had to give me implants. There's a magnet implanted inside my head. So that's why it's called implants. Cochlear implants. But I remember after the operation I used to have a big plaster around my head.
And did you have to spend a few days in hospital?
2 weeks, I think. Because I was young, my mum had to sleep with me. She stayed with me, and I remember my auntie giving me big elephant dolls to cheer me up a bit, because I used to love elephants.
An implant functions for 1 ear. She only has one cochlear implant, so really her hearing is boosted only for 1 ear. Which is important. It's kind of like if you got an amplifier for one of your ears, or a headphone or something, with a microphone for the room, you're hearing everything twice as loud.
Mm.
These here are red pipes. They're made of steel. They're very heavy. Very heavy grade of steel. Xiaomi, you play these.
Is there so much to hear? I don't know. It has a whole life.
Like a bell, for example, has a lot of sound, has a lot of frequencies in its tonal fabric. There's a lot going on there. So I think any person, whether you're deaf or you have full hearing or you're hard of hearing or slightly deaf, profoundly deaf, there are certain pitches you'll hear better than others. All our hearing is frequency related. As I get older, I lose frequencies by the day. All people over the age, certain age, start losing frequencies, and gradually you think it's lower and lower, and just literally losing high frequencies because hairs and stuff in your inner ear are breaking.
Do you want to tell us about this instrument?
Yeah, pipes. I think it's the longer is higher is, and the shorter is it lower is.
It's the opposite.
Is it?
You let me down. The longer the tube, the lower the sound. Do you find it easier to hear the lower notes? Or is there no
difference? No, sounds different.
So the lower the sound, the easier it is for the ear to hear. But what if you cannot hear anything at all? Is it possible to see music? Is it possible to listen to music with your eyes? George and the girls aren't interested in recording their music. They want to perform it, so that an audience can see them build and interact with their machine of sound. Playing live music is a kind of dance. Observe the way a cymbal is struck, and you can see the rhythm. Watch the girls move, and you can see the emotion the music conveys.
Hear, see, and feel.
See, see, see. A different kind of music. It's a Wednesday night, and Shauna and her classmates are at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre to see a special performance of the musical The Lion King. Performance artist and sign language interpreter Amanda Coogan has been commissioned to interpret the show for a hearing impaired audience. She knows all about the visual dimensions of music.
My parents are deaf sign language users. I suppose been brought up in another language and immersed in a very small, tightly knit community. And a community, a very specific community, obviously, that uses a visual, manual, embodied language, which is sign language, and an oppressed minority, so constantly agitating for recognition of their rights as human beings, as fully encompassed citizens of Ireland. And my parents would be activists, I suppose, in that way.
I see what's happening. Wow. And they don't have it. They'll fall in love and leaves the bottom line. How she goes down to two. Oh.
I think when you're translating music and on stage, it's you have to make performative choices. So you have to convey an overall meaning. My lens, I suppose, looking at this is somewhere, I'm a performance artist, so it's somewhere between the choreography of it, the music, the whole visual impact of a performance like that. It's performing in sign language, so it's very different to the type of work you would do as a straight interpreter. It's not the same thing at all. A straight interpreter would make very different choices. There's lyrics, of course, but then there is the music. The feeling of the music, the beat of the music, whether the music is fast or slow or boppy or not. And it's really important for us to encompass all of that into our translation, I suppose. With music, there's a whole other emotional element going on. So my question is always, how can I best show that through my body? So it might be some of the stuff I chose to do tonight is literally some of the musical-only places, like the Stampede, for example. I thought it was really important to let the deaf audience know when there's a kind of a scream in the music, where it goes, oh! There's lots of choices you can make. There's a really important and very beautiful scene of mourning where Rafiki mourns, and also Nala, and also the Queen, Mustafa's wife. And they're mourning, but standing very still on stage. It's a very still scene, but there's these recognisable, for hearing people, recognisable sounds of mourning. So what do you do with that as an interpreter? It's very important for me to convey that to the audience, that they're singing mourning songs. So within the translation, it said things like, he's going up to the gods, we will miss the king, long live the king. So I literally used some of those. But the beauty about sign language is that you can use those in such a way that it also looks like crying. So I can move the signs outwards the way you would sign crying a lot.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king.
The audience reaction needs no interpretation. The applause is thunderous. People are stamping their feet, whistling. Amanda steps out to take her bow with the actors. And the applause grows louder. But what you can't hear is the deaf clap Shauna and her friends are giving. They are standing up with their arms in the air, wriggling their fingers. The standard deaf gesture of appreciation.
The emotion is on her face is brilliant. It's really good. If you don't show any emotions, the sound means nothing. So you have to show what, how you feel now. Yeah, that was brilliant. I've seen the movie, so I knew the song I was singing along the song. One of the girls, Fiona, she's no hearing aid or implants, but she feels the vibrations now, and she follows the teacher sign language.
All right. Where were we yesterday? Do you remember the beat?
We try our rhythms from yesterday.
Shauna, you begin.
I'm doing it.
But there is work to be done back in the classroom, and George, Shauna, and the rest of the Lost and Found Sound Assembly are busy rehearsing. There are 8 weeks to go before they put their work to the test before a live audience. The group is brainstorming.
I want to get that globe. I like the globe. How can we use that globe? Do you have any ideas?
What if you put something inside there and you move and it makes noise?
That's a great idea.
That's Helen's idea for
you. Come on, I didn't come up with that idea. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. It would be like a shaker. That's a cool idea.
Like,
shake the world. He's got the whole world in his hands. That's a great idea, Shauna. Popcorn.
Something small.
Small. Or like beads that you make jewelry with, you know? Mm-hmm. Something like that. We'll try it next week. This is a set of aluminium rods that are solid. And you pinch them quite hard, but, and then drag your fingers, and your fingers have to be very dry, so they deliver a really high-pitched sound. The longer, yeah.
I can feel that all down my
exactly.
body.
It's funny because it really carries well, which is nice for outdoor performance, but very when you're up close, it's a bit disturbing, don't it? Can you hear that one well?
Yeah. Can we use a square very good?
I want you to stop what you're doing for a moment. Sit down. Stay still. Close your eyes. Listen. What do you hear? That low murmur is a vibrating speaker. The mellow bleating of brass. There's a car horn. Is that part of the score? Does it matter? Now open your eyes again. Are you listening with a radio? An iPod and a docking station? Turn the volume up as far as you can and place your hands on the speakers. What are you hearing? How are you hearing? Can you feel the music in your fingers? Can you feel it?
Hear, see, and feel.
Feel, feel, feel.
We'll have a little conversation. Will we spear spell some of the words? Do you remember how to do this? Can you do
this again? Not really.
Let's do feel. We're going to spell feel. We're going to have a conversation. Morse conversation. I'll start, okay, Sean?
Can you feel it in your arm, Shona, when you hit?
If I do it, it bounces off. Bouncing off. It's kind of like a mini vibration, and then it's gone. It's like a few seconds. It disappears quickly.
Do you want to play one of your rhythms on it?
Yeah.
Got pretty astonishing musical talent. Rhythmically, I remember when I first met her, she had this rhythm that she'd been playing the years before. This, and she played it for me on a drum. And she's got great concentration, first of all. And she's very keen on learning music. She was working a hi-hat pedal with her foot and beating a couple differing rhythms with her, with each hand. So she has a really, she's really quick at learning these rhythms, which for most hearing people, I mean, you're talking 98% of the hearing people you'd walk up to. And a lot of musicians, mind you, they couldn't do that. It would just confuse them, you know. But she listens and she focuses and she can do it. You know, she's good. But I think she does a lot of watching. I've noticed that with Shauna. She's really watching.
Shauna is a typical teenager. She listens to her iPod all the time. On the bus, in the car, in her bedroom. But when she puts her earphones in her ears, or her iPod in its docking station, she's not just listening to the music. She's feeling it too.
Yeah, I put it in my docking station in my room sometimes and I just listen to music. And sometimes I just put my hands on it and take my hearing aid off. I can still feel the vibrations in the speakers. Sometimes I feel it on my feet when I come out of the shower. My dad's playing music or downstairs in the kitchen. The radio is on. When I come into my room, I can feel the floor shaking with the vibration. But depending on how loud the music is. If it's a rock music and you put it on low, you can still hear it because it's loud music. You can feel it when it's low. It's hard. It just feels hard, but when it's high, it's soft.
Shauna's favourite band is One Direction. But she has another musical hero. The drummer, Evelyn Glennie.
She's a deaf person who can feel music with feet by using her feet and vibrations. I think she became deaf when she was 12. She just went deaf, and then when she went to her college, they said that it's impossible for her to come in and play music. But when she showed them that she could play them, they accepted her to come in. And now she performed in the Olympics 2012 opening ceremony. In the rehearsal, she was playing different music now, but in the Olympics, she was playing the drums, a mixture of fast and slow. She was like real crazy, going around all over the place. Her hair was all over the place. But the vibration, she used her bare feet and she just stands on them and then plays it. And she can feel the vibration with her feet.
It's February, and the first performance date is getting closer. George and the girls have assembled their materials and written the music. At rehearsals, the girls are confident, getting into a groove with it. They move their bodies in time with the music, feeling the instrument vibrate as they strike pipes, pluck strings, turn bicycle wheels. George has found an old telegraph station at a local dump.
So these are the telegraph stations I'm turning on here. That's going to blow. Well done. There it goes. You can see the speaker vibrating. I probably turned it too high. There are speakers inside a glass bell jar that vibrate. That's all speakers do. But when I pour the popcorn I have here in the tin inside the speaker, begins to vibrate percussively. And these vibrations happen in concurrence with the vibrations in the walkway, so that as people pass over the walkway, they feel the vibrations in either foot. So you have your left foot there, your right foot's vibrating. So the idea is that we connect the visible movement of the materials with the tangible vibrations in the walkway. So I think it's working. I think the audience is appreciating it. Sean and I are just doing the girls doing the performance. We're communicating. She spells one letter, I spell the other, and we alternate. They go through the words hear, see, and feel. Round and round they go as people hear, see, and feel these sounds that you're hearing now walking across the walkway.
The instrument is a rectangle, essentially, and the musicians are standing around this rectangle. And it's not only is it a rectangle, but it's a skeletal rectangle, you know, so they can see through it largely. Not always. Their sight's obstructed, but it's very much so they can see each other, whether they're deaf or hearing musicians. I like that idea of the performers looking inward at each other rather than looking at an audience, because then the audience watches from the outside and they're experiencing the intimacy of the performers with each other, which to me is kind of what it's about. But when performers face inward, it means that the audience can face all around. So I like that. It's not a sort of a homogenous whatever experience. You know, everybody's got a different take on it.
It's the end of March, and the performance day has finally arrived.
So cold out there when you're out there for a while.
George, Shauna, and the rest of the Lost and Found sound assembly have gathered in a cafe near Wolfetone Square. As a small crowd gathers, they emerge in yellow ponchos and begin to build the instrument, a structure formed of scaffolding from which the pipes, bicycle wheels, washboards, pestle and mortars, a horn and an upside-down bass guitar hang.
You're on even ground with an audience, rather than in the tradition, you know, the Western tradition, maybe you have a string quartet performing at, you know, some sort of event. People immediately feel that this entity, the string quartet, is this rarefied, you know, ensemble, and they I think a lot of people feel disconnected. Working with materials, people recognize, they say, that's a drain pipe, and you're hitting it in a certain way, or that's a piece of sewer pipe, or, you know, whatever it is. That they see musical properties in these common objects excites them, I know, and excites me and the performers, too, and yeah, it's a very sort of, it's a good starting point.
As George and the girls begin to play, more people stop to watch and eventually to participate. Stepping onto the walkway where they can feel the vibrations that Shauna and her friends rely on for their musical experience and musical expression. They aren't nervous. They're comfortable. Moving with the music. Dancing. They might not be able to hear the music in the same way you or I do, but they can feel it in their bones.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.